is contained in our worship bulletin, and basically it's a service of carols and readings. However, we do have a creed. We also have a sermon. So, not to say that we have completely left all liturgy or Lutheran worship. But you know, I looked through various little online magazines, and one of them has all sorts of odd tidbits. And one was speaking about Christmas, and they were speaking about hearing the Christmas story and Christmas carols sung by goats. And of course, I clicked on the little link, and here you have braying of goats to O Holy Night in the little town of Bethlehem, and in a word, yeah, kind of, but you know, goats are goats, so they don't really carry it for you. But thank goodness that our Lord and Savior, in the Christmas story and throughout Scripture, not only speaks our language so that we can understand, but more than that, sent his Son to become one of us, live among us, and offer us life eternal through his sacrificial life, death, and resurrection. Today we look at the beginning of that story, not the incarnation, but rather his birth. We now begin our service then with the singing of our first hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, and why don't we stand for that and remain standing for the invocation and prayer.
Thank you.
30 years before the birth of Jesus and speaks about where he will be born. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who was in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth, and this one will be our peace. So far the reading from Micah. We now join our hearts and voices in singing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
call Wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Or sing unto the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
His righteousness and his glory be shown in the sight of the
He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel.
All these of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So far the Holy Gospel. Please join me as we make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he descended into heaven, and stood upon the right hand.
Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the Christmas Gospel according to St. Luke, which was read earlier. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever wondered what the shepherds were thinking on that first Christmas Eve when they heard the angels say, You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger? You know, were I to be one of those shepherds, I might say, Really? What kind of directions are those? You know, granted, Bethlehem was a small city. In New Testament times, it didn't have any walls. And as a matter of fact, the entire population of not only the village of Bethlehem, but the surrounding area was only about 1,000 people. But you know, even in a small town, you might expect a little better directions than, well, go look for a baby. I mean, not quite what I would have thought. You know, it wasn't the same for the Magi from the east to find baby Jesus. After all, for the Magi, basically God set a star in the sky and had it right over the house where the Holy Family was, so the Magi couldn't miss it. No such fortune with the shepherds. You know, and it wasn't the same as we see depicted in Christian art. For example, if you look at the pictures that I found of the Holy Family on that first Christmas Eve, invariably we see halos around their heads, around the baby Jesus, around the Virgin Mary, around Joseph. Generally, the angels have halos around their heads too. You know, if they really had halos, finding the baby Jesus wouldn't have really been a problem. It would have just been, you know, well, why don't you go down the street, and you know, where you see all this light coming out of a house from the halos of the family, there's the baby Jesus. But it wasn't like that, was it? It was, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And that brings me to my sermon topic for this Christmas morning, No Halo for Jesus. And I'll develop that in two parts. First, what if Jesus had a halo? And secondly, no halo for Jesus. You know, we may be so used to seeing the baby Jesus, the Virgin Mary, Joseph, angels, various saints depicted in Christian art, all with halos, that we basically don't give it a second thought. After all, if we look at pictures of the manger scene, we find the only people who don't have halos, you know, probably are the three wise men from the east, the shepherds, cows, camels, sheep, and assorted little critters in the background. They don't have halos. As a matter of fact, halos actually come before Christian art. Pagans used halos to set aside, in their art, they were used to set aside people as either being very special or having a connection to the divine. And as Christian art developed in the first and second century, artists then took over that idea of a halo, that basically this was to point out people who were particularly holy. Of course, with Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the angels, that probably wasn't too difficult, but also they then began to use this to show various people whom they also considered saints, especially the early martyrs of the church, such as Stephen and James. But on that first Christmas, while the angels seemingly did not wear halos, they were bathed in a heavenly light and splendor. As a matter of fact, Luke records that the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah of the Lord, shone round about them. And that glory bathed the shepherds that were in the fields watching their sheep. Now, we aren't given any reaction to what the sheep thought when they were suddenly bathed in this huge light. You know, we might have expected the shepherds to be standing in awe and expectation of what's coming. But you know, the scriptures don't say they were in awe and expectation. As a matter of fact, they were sore afraid. And if we translate that literally, they were literally scared out of their wits. And throughout the scriptures, that pretty well sums up the reaction of people when they are confronted by God's heavenly glory, either directly or immediately through shepherds or through angels. As a matter of fact, when Isaiah was called to be a prophet, he was taken up into the throne room of God, where he saw the Shekinah, the glory of God, and smoke fill the temple. Isaiah didn't say, "Wow, what an experience. Is it great to be here?" Rather, he said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." God's glory, He who dwells in light inaccessible, reveals our sin and makes us afraid of His judgment. That's why Isaiah was afraid. That's why the shepherds were afraid. And what if Jesus really did have a halo, beginning in Bethlehem and throughout His life? That halo would be a reflection of God's glory. And rather being inviting, people would run away in fear. It also would mark Jesus as not quite human. But thank God, that's never the way the scriptures describe Jesus, from His birth to His crucifixion to His resurrection. As a matter of fact, throughout the scriptures, we see that there is no halo for Jesus. You know, in spite of countless well-meaning artists throughout the ages, we don't have a Savior who has a halo. Paul tells us a bit about why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. You know, when I read that passage from Ephesians, I don't see any halos. Think about it. Born of a woman. Nothing extraordinary. An ordinary birth after the course of nature. No halos here. Born under the law. Born like every other person who has God's moral law written in their hearts, but more specifically, born into God's Old Testament people to whom God had given the law. No halos here. And finally, to redeem those who are under the law. And that's why Jesus came, on a mission of redemption, forgiveness, and reconciliation. No halos here. As a matter of fact, His mission was to rescue all of us who otherwise would have been condemned by the law. And in all of this, there isn't any halo. There can be nothing that should set Jesus apart from His full humanity. For in Jesus, the divine takes on human flesh, but Jesus humbles Himself in the form of a servant. And the last time I looked in the scriptures, servants don't wear halos. As a matter of fact, we hear about Paul speaking about Jesus' humility in his letter to the Philippians, wherein he writes, "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant." No halos. "Taking the form of the servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. From his birth to his death on Golgotha, Jesus lived out his life in deepest humility to God's will to rescue us, and didn't wear a halo. Many times we wish to sentimentalize Jesus' humility. You know, we've all heard of the, you know, look at poor Jesus, you know, I mean, even the babe, you know, the babe has nowhere to lay his head. He's born in a manger, you know. Probably the crib of that day would not have met today's crib safety standards. And so people wonder, you know, well, there's no room in the inn. You know, there was Jesus out in the cold. But, you know, every charity then tries to play on our heartstrings at this time of the year to sentimentalize Jesus' birth. Well, think of the poor. Think of the homeless. Think of the underprivileged. Think of the toilless. Think of the wish-deprived. You name it. Now, none of that is necessarily bad. But the point of the Christmas story is that if we only think of it one time a year or during one season of the year, we've missed the point. In his very interesting book, Jesus Through the Century, Yaroslav Pelikan comments on a sentimental approach to seeing the baby Jesus and Luther's reaction. We hear, to hearers who cooed sentimentally over the infant Jesus and clucked over his poverty, "Oh, if only I would have been there, how quick I would have been to help the baby." Luther retorted, "Well, you know, you can do it now. You have Christ in your neighbor." Where do we first find the face of Jesus? Well, look in the mirror. Then look at our neighbor. Look at our spouse. Look at our parents. Look at our in-laws. Look at our children. And it's true. At times, it's difficult to get close. And usually it's difficult to get close, not because of the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, but because of the sin we see. Perhaps we see it in ourselves, perhaps we see it in our neighbor. But when we see sin, then we should turn to look at the face of Jesus. This is the face that doesn't have a halo, but rather invites us to forgive, even as we have been forgiven. And that's the meaning of Christmas. It's love. It's the love of God for us in Christ. It's the forgiveness that works 365 days a year on God's part. It can be tough. This is the love that forgives, and it forgives in good times as well as bad. God's glory is manifested in two ways. We can see the brightness of the Lord reflected in the angels. And the reaction of human beings is invariably one of fear. And that's why the first words that the angel said were, "Fear not." But the glory is also revealed in another, more inviting way. It's revealed in Christ, who veiled his Godhead, who did away with halos, so that we might not be afraid. That Jesus led a life of humiliation is much, much more than having been born in poor circumstances. This is the humiliation that was an act of love. It's the humiliation by which God himself veils his glory. And that's more than just, you know, Superman going into a phone booth and emerging as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter. This is a conscious decision whereby God can get close to us, that he would be pleased to dwell among us, that he would be pleased to go to the cross to die for us, that he would be pleased to rise from the dead on the third day, that in his whole life he would be pleased to forgive us, and that throughout his life there should never be any halo that would separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that being forgiven, we might live with him and for him. And we are not afraid then on this first Christmas to come to the feeding trough, to see the baby Jesus, and to hear that indeed this is good news for all men, for this night unto you has been born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now join our hearts and voices in singing Away in a Manger. Yes, I know there's a little bit of sentimentality in there that may be a little sugary, but, you know, it's Christmas. And then at the conclusion, we shall receive the offer. Give thee both thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, the trust, O God, from thee. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in eternity didst appoint a time for the sending of thy holy child Jesus, and didst by thy Spirit overshadow the Virgin, and thus didst send our Savior, this true God, begotten from thee from all eternity, and true man, born of a woman, accept the thanks of thy grateful people for thy love. We praise thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for the appearing of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for the blessed promise that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We give thanks to the revelation of thyself in him, that to know him is to know thee, to love him is to love thee, to serve him is to serve thee, and to hear him is to hear thee. Help each one of us to enter into the true joys of this day and to welcome the Savior into our hearts. Implant within us such an understanding of the supreme vision that in fullness of heart we may give thee continual glory and honor and thanksgiving. Open our hearts to receive in faith him whom thou hast appointed the Lord of life and under whose feet thou hast put all things. Grant also, O Father, that the whole earth may come to the obedience of thy manger child, and to know him as wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We pray thee that men everywhere, from pole to pole and from east to west, may acknowledge Mary's child as Lord and Savior, the incarnate God. Let the light of this truth reach the hardest of hearts and the most stubborn of wills. Let it shatter the wretched idolatries and the brutal ideologies of men, and let it pierce the darkness of all who dwell in the shadow and fear of death. Grant that the glad tidings of the true Christmas may be born into each home this day, and that all children and parents may know the greatest gift of all, the child of Bethlehem. Teach all to subdue pleasure and earthly gifts before the wonder of the heavenly gift of Jesus. Look with compassion on all who are in any want or need this day. We lift up for thy compassion the lonely and the forsaken, the sick and the troubled, the sorrowing and the dying. Bring to their remembrance with renewed power the comfort of Christmas, the child who is Emmanuel, God with us. Grant them faith that thou art the deliverer of thy people, their helper in every necessity, the help of the sick, and the hope of the dying. Give them the assurance that in Christ thou art nigh to all who call upon thee. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, in whom alone is the hope of salvation, and who has also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And give us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For those who are able, why don't we remain standing for silent light?
Upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son. Amen.
and the Holy Ghost.